March 14th readings. Matthew's the Epistle to Diognetus, chapters 11 to 12. These things are worthy to be known and believed. I do not speak of things strange to me, nor do I aim at anything inconsistent with right reason, but having been a disciple of the apostles, I am become a teacher of the Gentiles. I minister the things delivered to me to those that are disciples worthy of the truth. For who that is rightly taught and begotten by the loving word would not seek to learn accurately the things which have been clearly shown by the word to his disciples, to whom the word being manifested has revealed them, speaking plainly, to them, not understood indeed by the unbelieving, but conversing with the disciples, who, being esteemed faithful by him, acquired a knowledge of the mysteries of the Father? The word made known. For this reason, he sent the word, that he might be manifested to the world, and he, being despised by the people, of the Jews, was, when preached by the apostles, believed on by the Gentiles. This is he who was from the beginning, who appeared as if new, and was found old, and yet who is ever born afresh in the hearts of the saints. This is he who, being from everlasting, is today called the Son, through whom the church is enriched, and grace, widely spread, increases in the saints, furnishing understanding, revealing mysteries, announcing times, rejoicing over the faithful, giving to those that seek. By him, the limits of faith are not broken through, nor the boundaries set by the fathers passed over. Then the fear of the law is chanted, and the grace of the prophets is known, and the faith of the gospels is established, and the tradition of the apostles is preserved, and the grace of the church exalts. Receiving the word in truth. If you do not grieve this grace, you shall know those things which the word teaches, by whom he wills, and when he pleases. For whatever things we are moved to utter by the will of the word commanding us, we communicate to you with pains, and from a love of the things that have been revealed to us. The importance of knowledge to true spiritual life. When you have read and carefully listened to these things, you shall know what God bestows on such as rightly love him, being made as you are a paradise of delight, presenting in yourselves a tree bearing all kinds of produce and flourishing well, being adorned with various fruits. The tree of life and true knowledge. For in this place the tree of knowledge and the tree of life have been planted, but it is not the tree of knowledge that destroys, it is disobedience that proves destructive. Nor truly are those words without significance which are written, how God from the beginning planted the tree of life in the midst of paradise, revealing through knowledge the way to life. And when those who were first formed did not use this knowledge properly, they were, through the fraud of the serpent, stripped naked. For neither can life exist without knowledge, nor is knowledge secure without life. Wherefore both were planted close together. Knowledge and love in harmony. The apostle, perceiving the force of this conjunction, and blaming that knowledge which, without true doctrine, is admitted to influence life, declares, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth. For he who thinks he knows anything without true knowledge, and such as is witnessed to by life, knows nothing, but is deceived by the serpent, as not loving life. But he who combines knowledge with fear, and seeks after life, plants in hope, looking for fruit. Let your heart be your wisdom, and let your life be true knowledge inwardly received. Bearing this tree and displaying its fruit, thou shalt always gather in those things which are desired by God, which the serpent cannot reach, and to which deception does not approach. Nor is Eve then corrupted, but is trusted as a virgin, and salvation is manifested, and the apostles are filled with understanding, and the Passover of the Lord advances, and the choirs are gathered together, and are arranged in proper order, and the word rejoices in teaching the saints, by whom the Father is glorified, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Augustine. Confessions, Book V, Chapters 11-12. Helpidius disputed well against the Manichaeans as to the authenticity of the New Testament. Furthermore, whatever they had censured in thy scriptures I thought impossible to be defended, and yet sometimes, indeed, I desired to confer on these several points with someone well learned in those books, and to try what he thought of them. For at this time the words of one Helpidius, speaking and disputing face to face against the said Manichaeans, had begun to move me even at Carthage, in that he brought forth things from the scriptures not easily withstood, to which their answer appeared to me feeble. The Manichaean attempt to discredit the scriptures. And this answer they did not give forth publicly, but only to us in private, when they said that the writings of the New Testament had been tampered with by I know not whom, who were desirous of engrafting the Jewish law upon the Christian faith, but they themselves did not bring forward any uncorrupted copies. But I, thinking of corporeal things, very much ensnared and in a measure stifled, was oppressed by those masses, panting under which for the breath of thy truth, I was not able to breathe it pure and undefiled. Professing rhetoric at Rome, he discovers the fraud of his scholars. Then began I assiduously to practice that for which I came to Rome, the teaching of rhetoric, and first to bring together at my home some to whom, and through whom, I had begun to be known. Behold, I learnt that other offences were committed in Rome which I had not to bear in Africa. For those subvertings by abandoned young men were not practised here, as I had been informed, yet, suddenly, said they, to evade paying their master's fees, many of the youths conspire together, and remove themselves to another, breakers of faith, who, for the love of money, set a small value on justice. A struggle between justice and self-interest. These also my heart hated, though not with a perfect hatred, for, perhaps, I hated them more in that I was to suffer by them, than for the illicit acts they committed. Such of a truth are base persons, and they are unfaithful to thee, loving these transitory mockeries of temporal things, and vile gain, which begrimes the hand that lays hold on it. And embracing the fleeting world, and scorning thee, who abidest, and invitest to return, and pardonest the prostituted human soul when it returneth to thee. And now I hate such crooked and perverse men, although I love them if they are to be corrected so as to prefer the learning they obtain to money, and to learning, thee, O God, the truth and fullness of certain good and most chaste peace. But then was the wish stronger in me for my own sake not to suffer them evil, than was the wish that they should become good for thine. Thomas Aquinas. Summa Theologica, Part 1, Question 39, Article 1. Whether the essence in God is the same as the person? Objection. It seems that in God, the essence is not the same as the person. For whenever essence is the same as person or suppositum, there can be only one suppositum of one nature, as is clear in the case of all separate substances. But in God, there is one essence and three persons. Therefore, essence is not the same as person. Responsio, it must be said that the truth of this question is quite clear if we consider the divine simplicity. The divine simplicity requires that in God, essence is the same as suppositum, which in intellectual substances is nothing else than person. While the divine persons are multiplied, the essence nevertheless retains its unity. In God, essence is not really distinct from person, and yet the persons are really distinguished from each other. For person signifies relation as subsisting in the divine nature. Relation, as referred to the essence, does not differ therefrom really, but only in our way of thinking, while as referred to an opposite relation, it has a real distinction by virtue of that opposition. Thus, there are one essence and three persons.